The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard it said, you may love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that they may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good
all the time.
So just as a quick reminder, you know we're in the middle of the ACA drive, and if you haven't filled out your pledge card yet, please do so and hand it in. Your generosity will be greatly appreciated. Quinquagesima Sunday. How many of you heard that term or know what that term means? Quinquagesima Sunday. Some older people like me remember that term. In the 1914 Catholic Encyclopedia, it is defined as the start of the 50 days towards Lent. Now, of course, most of us here are post-Vatican II, and there are a few of us that predate Vatican II. But since then, we've gotten rid of all those quinquagesima and sextagesima and septagesima Sundays, which counted down our time towards Lent. But what it basically means is Ash Wednesday's right around the corner. Ash Wednesday is the time at the beginning of Lent. Ash Wednesday is the time when we begin our fasting and our abstinence in preparation for the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a better topic for the Sunday before Lent than love. So in the Old Testament reading, the Levitical priesthood was born. And the Lord tells Moses, after they all sinned and he threw the tablets down at them, to tell his people to be holy like the Lord is holy. Do not bear hatred for your brother in your heart. Even if you are wronged by them, do not incur sin because of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take no revenge. Bear no grudge. Wow. Pretty heavy. Instructions that were given to the Israelites 3,000 years ago, and now Jesus is here to remind them and to remind us of this ancient rule. And even our responsorial psalm, "The Lord is kind and merciful, gives us an indication of what God wants for us. He wants us to be kind and merciful, just like the Lord. But in today's gospel, Jesus starts out with the eye for an eye dialogue. Now, some might say, well, look, isn't Jesus condoning revenge? But no, that's not it at all. This came from the Old Testament, and it was there to limit the amount of revenge that could be taken. An eye for an eye meant only give an equal amount of revenge, if it be so desired. But Jesus came to change all that. Jesus says, take no revenge. Instead, he wants to restrict it. He wants it to not exist. Offer no resistance to one who is evil. Jesus answers a wrong to himself with, turn the other cheek. And he calls us actually as a reminder that you should love one another and your neighbor as yourself. So let's just take a quick moment and talk about this thing called love. Now there's 8 types of love that can be defined. And I'm going to go over them just really briefly. Mania, which is obsessive love, is probably one of the most destructive of what we call love because it is uncontrolled and subject to abuse and very problematic. Ludus, which is playful love, is the kind of love we engage in our youth and often maybe later on in our life when we are flirtatious or spontaneous. Pragma, enduring love, is the kind of love that we witness in older couples that have lived a long time and have passed the test of time. And they reflect the characteristics of what we hope love will be in our lives. Often it's reflected in our parents and our godparents. Storge is familiar love. This is the kind of love that is reflected when our families, with our families, and also towards our closest friends. That kind of love tends to be enduring and long-lasting. Filial love, or self-love, is probably one of the most important, but probably one of the most dangerous. We are told throughout our lives that we can't expect to love anybody or anything until we love ourselves. Important. But self-love can be an obsession, and that's when it becomes destructive, and that's when it does more harm than good. Philia is the affectionate love. It's the love of a crush. It can be directed to a person or a thing, and it usually is fleeting and short-term. But philia sometimes evolves into eros. Eros is romantic love. This is what most couples experienced when they've been together a long time. Philia evolves into eros and leads the couple to a more intimate relationship and often towards intimacy itself and maybe even towards the proposal. Finally, we have agape, unconditional love. Agape is the type of love that we strive for, both in our personal relationships, but also in our relationship with God. Agape is unconditional love, the love that God has for us. And we, as mortal men, have some difficulties with this kind of love. When we say, I love you, we mean it, but it's with conditions. Always conditions. You must be honest. You must be true. You must be trustworthy. You must be loyal. All of which are characteristics of a good love relationship. But they're conditions nonetheless. So Jesus asked his disciples and us to take a different approach to loving our fellow man. He instructs us to love our enemies, not to retaliate for wrong done to us, but to turn the other cheek when someone wrongs us or another. We are asked to go beyond the norms of society and embrace our enemies and hold no hatred in our hearts towards our fellow man. Those who are called to the kingdom of heaven, you and me, must embrace our enemies and hate evil and those who participate in evil, as the Old and the New Testament both require us to do. And in Matthew's Gospels, we are commanded that that love of God and love of neighbor is essential. These are fundamental commands for which all else depends, because God's love for us is unconditional, and so must our love be for our fellow man, unconditional. Finally, possibly the key to all of this is the command to be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. But interestingly enough, the word Matthew uses is telos, and telos can better be translated as complete. This puts a different slant on what that means. Our perfection is achieved in striving to reach completeness. The completeness that we are called to within the kingdom of God. Attempting to love our enemies is how we strive towards this completeness. And so love, there it is. Now I have homework for you. You thought Father Simeon was the only one that gives you homework, didn't you? Well, I know that each and every one of you in these pews has someone in their life that has been estranged, has someone in their life that they haven't talked to in a long time. Your homework is reach out to that person. Apologize if need be. Forgive them if need be. But reach out to them. Reach out to them today. Reach out to them and love them. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.